Good morning. Another Monday morning, and you're listening to Glenn Coble on A Progressive Life. That's the name of my show. I try not to get too boxy. I don't stand up on a soapbox and tell you my way is the right way. I try to just explain things the way I see them, and you're more than welcome to give me a call and tell me you disagree or you agree. The number here is 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-WWGH, which stands for our call letters, which also, I guess, stands for Warren G. Harding. That's kind of interesting. one of the lesser presidents as far as high ratings go, I understand. But since he's from Marion, we're going to give him some support and we'll give him some credit. Anybody that takes that job, even the current one, needs to get credit for at least taking the job. It's not a job that too many people, I would think, would want. However, as a little guy, I remember telling my mother when she asked me what I wanted to be. I wanted to be president of the United States. I think the first time I probably mentioned that, I was probably 10 or 11, something like that, in grade school. And then I re-mentioned it to her because I was pretty serious about it when I was 14 or 15. Then I ran for school, some school office, and got my derriere pounded. And I didn't ever want to go into a voting situation again. It's kind of scary having people say they like you or they don't like you. That was the worst part of that. Had a lot of interesting thoughts this week with all the things that are going on in the United States, especially the political things. It sometimes makes for a restless night for me. this business of the Alabama abortion law, where it says no matter what, you have to carry the fetus to term, kind of, well, when I ran for office this last session, not the one that we just voted in the primary, but the one before, that was one of my stances, and my opponent, actually, she voted for the 6-week abortion ban. Tracy Richardson, who won, beat me, voted for the 6 weeks ban, and she kind of ran on that. I really believe that, except for when she was at the League of Women Voters thing here in Marion, she kind of downplayed it. And she kind of said, oh yeah, I'm for that. But that's about all she said. She didn't really explain why she was for it. I tried to explain that I believe that women have a right to choose what is done to their bodies. I was a little bit more talkative about that particular problem. That kind of kept me awake a little bit because I really believe it's crazy. Now, Georgia, I believe, has passed a law and much like it, and Alabama's law says that it's not the woman that they're going to punish, which is Trump said that the woman should be punished. And I still haven't gotten rid of this stupid cold. Anyway, it said the woman should be punished. Trump said that the woman should be punished, but the Alabama law does not punish the woman. It punishes the doctor. And a doctor can spend 99 years after he does that in jail. Now, if you want to talk about overreach, I can't imagine We need doctors way more than we need convicts or convicted felons. And it is a felony. I hope and I believe that that won't pass, get through the courts. I'm guessing, even though Trump has engineered having two of his judges put on the Supreme Court, I'm guessing that it won't get to that level. I'm hoping that they will just defer to the lower courts after the lower courts say it's unconstitutional. That's what I'm guessing. Well, I finished the first summary. I finished the first half of the report, the Mueller report. Mueller report, I'm sorry. And I've read both of the summaries. So I'm getting a pretty good feeling for what the report says. And I encourage you to read it. I know it's a lot. And it takes forever. You can get it on audiobook for free, I believe, if you're an Amazon person. And you can get it and listen to it, and but it takes, I think, 19 hours to listen to it. So it's very long, and I read some of it, but now I've started to go over to the audiobook because I walk a couple miles a day, a little over a couple miles a day, and when I do my walking, I can listen to it. And so I'm up through the first, almost done with the first section. There are two sections to it. And if you read it and you don't get violently angry, you've got better control than I do. It is outlandish how much corruption is involved in our government. How much corruption is involved in the Russian government? How much corruption is involved everywhere, it seems like. And if you don't believe me, please read it. You will find there is no there's no way you can think that there was no relationship between our government and the Russian government. Now, I'm going to give our government the benefit of the doubt and say they were unknowing, but I'm only doing that in voice only. In my heart, I cannot believe all the things that have gone on and documented in the Mueller report and proven beyond, seems like a shadow of a doubt, through their investigation. It makes you just sick to your stomach about the corruption. I truly believe right now we are finding, and I promised myself when I started this radio show that I was not going to get hyper political about stuff like this, but it's so disturbing to read through the report that I find it hard not to talk about it. I don't see a second side to, and I'm pretty good about that. Ask my wife. She hates it that I'm always the devil's advocate. At least that's one of the things she gets mad about me. I won't take a side. I'll say, well, maybe they saw it this way. But it's awful hard to see a positive coming out of the Mueller report if you read it, a positive for our government. It indicts just about everybody in the government without. But it also says it will not go any further than just stating the facts. And I like that. I think it should be up to the Congress to do what they need to do. At first, I agreed with Mrs. Pelosi that nothing should be done towards an impeachment because it would look bad and it wouldn't get through the Senate because the Senate is controlled by Mitch McConnell and the Republicans. But I believe now if we don't do something, and I don't mean you have to fully impeach, you can always just start the inquest into whether there's enough information, which I can't imagine there isn't. After reading this report, you won't be able to believe that there isn't at least something to look into. And you can be on either side of the aisle and I think agree on that. But it's kind of strange to me that people hold the their job above their honor. When I was running, I committed to myself and to my wife and to my family that I would never tell a lie about the position, and I didn't. I got close a couple times, especially when people asked about my religion. But I just can't imagine living with myself if I knew some corruption was going on and I voted for it. That just doesn't seem right. Anyway, I was watching 60 Minutes, I think, and they were talking with a gentleman who has made billions, I believe, in the high-end fashion business. Brunello Cucinelli, I believe it is pronounced. I can't afford his $5,000 to $10,000 suits, so I don't have his name on the tip of my tongue. But they were talking to him, and one of the things that he said, the way he ran his company, and he pays his help immensely, a very good salary. They all get free lunch at their place, and it's very high quality lunch, and they get 90 minutes for their lunch. And he does other things to support the employees. But one of the things he said is that all the world, he based his company on moral and economic dignity. Moral and economic dignity. Now, he's an Italian. He is not an American, so he hasn't learned how to throw those things in the trash. But it just tapped me on the shoulder and said, Glenn, that's what you believe in. And it is. We need moral and economic dignity. If we had those two things, we would not have to worry about religion in our government because people would be good and they would do the right thing. We all know what the right thing is to do. Or for the terribly corrupt people, they know what other people think is the right thing to do. And the economic dignity would do away with billionaires that basically, my wife says, how do these people get all these billions of dollars? They also had a thing on 60 Minutes about money laundering. And I said, well, they steal it from the people that work for them. They steal it from the people around them. They steal it any way they can get it. And that's, as far as I'm concerned, how people get filthy, filthy rich. Now, there are people that have gotten filthy rich that don't do that. I'm not blaming them. I would venture to say that an awful lot of the people that are in that position have done things that they couldn't tell their mom they were proud of, unless their mom was corrupt. Anyway, I really liked that segment with Brunello. And I'm not going to try and pronounce his last name again. But he believes that we should have moral and economic dignity. That's one of the things that's kind of becoming a talking point, is morality and moral dignity. It's something that we lack a great deal of in America right now. And it started with having, I don't care what you say, I've tried to figure out why in the world so many religious people continue to support Donald Trump. The only thing I can see that they get out of supporting a man who believes in aggressively dealing with women, a man who believes that money is the only thing, a man who believes that he can lie, and even if other people know it, he doesn't care. How can the religious people find that acceptable? Well, one of the things is, the only thing I can see, is that he will get them judges. And the only reason why they want judges is so they can overturn Roe. And I can't believe that a person is so one-issued that that's, they will vote for a total waste of time just so that they can get one thing out of it. How about the corruption? How about the all the terrible things and lies that we've been told? I don't know. I believe that America is at a crossroads now where they either are going to have a moral soul or they're going to just become a bought and paid for oligarchy. It's actually, because of this, it's actually made me start thinking about running again. A few weeks back, I told you I was about 80%, had about 80% decided not to run for against Jim Jordan. It got to about 90% against it. And then this thing popped up again where seven of his wrestlers said he had to know about the abuse the doctor was doing to his student athletes. Are we corrupt at all levels? That's something that makes me very as a minister's kid, even though I'm not a religious person, as a minister's kid, I was brought up right. I can't imagine letting something like that go. I was an assistant athletic director at two different universities, and I know that my assistant coaches knew everything that went on in the locker rooms. They were pretty astute. If they weren't, then their head coach, who was directing them, hadn't given them very good instructions and wasn't really paying much attention. Most of my assistant coaches would have known that that's going on if it was as well known to a lot of people. I think they said 120 people or so, I don't know. If it was that well known, I can't imagine that Mr. Jordan didn't know. I've only met Mr. Jordan once. My impression of him was not good when I met him, but I was at an event in his first year of running. I was at an event that my boss kind of told us we had to go to. But after listening to him for just a few minutes, I could tell that he was not going to be somebody I'd vote for. But anyway, after all this crud that's been going on in the last few weeks, I'm back to 80% or 70% chance that I won't run. If any of you want to talk to me about why I should or shouldn't run, my address, email address is glenncoble@hotmail.com. And I'm giving that out to anybody that wants to email me your thoughts. That would be fine. And Glenn Coble, by the way, is spelled GLENNCOBLE. It's all one word. Anyway, if you'd like to email me, please do. I'm really torn on this. If my wife is listening this morning, turn the radio off, because she does not want me running for office. She knows how many hours it takes. She knows how disappointed you can be. Even if you're pretty sure you're not going to win, you're terribly disappointed when you don't win, especially if somebody that does win, like in this last election, I disagree with just about everything that she stands for, or at least that her party stands for. And since 91% of the Republican Party approve of Donald Trump, I would guess that she's one of those. I have a friend that I met when I was running for office. I can't remember what Rachel's last name is. She was running for office up at up outside of Toledo. Rachel. Oh, shoot. I can't remember her name. But she was one of the women that was accosted by our president. And we had probably a 15-minute talk. And she was quite hurt by that unasked for attention, I guess. I'll just leave it at that. Okay. Anyway, back to the Mueller report. If you read it, I can't imagine that you would stay on the fence about some of the issues. It shows a lack of morality, an absolute lack of patriotism, and virtually no regard for fairness. What is fair is what you can get away with, is basically what it came down to. And most of the Mueller report is taken directly from direct evidence that they did not put anything in there that they couldn't prove beyond a shadow of a doubt. And now there are several things in the Mueller report that are sentences that they have gleaned from people that they've investigated. But they certainly followed up and proved that what the person had said was true. So vetted is the word that I was looking for. They certainly vetted all these people and all the things that they said. And if that's true, and I'm assuming it is, you need to read it so that you will go out and vote for the right person. And I don't care who you vote for, except the current member in the White House and his underlings. I can't imagine they care a tinker's damn about our Constitution, our government, our people, the needs of our trodden, the people that are not so well off. Anyway, I think you need to read it. With them in the report, it's obvious that the most important thing to the Trump administration, to the people that surround Trump, the most important thing is money. Everything is based on how much money you can get, or how you avoid losing money. There are a lot of things that make you think, and it did not say that Trump was under suspicion of being manipulated by the Russians, but all you have to do is read what they did say, and you'll find it difficult not to believe that something was manipulating our president. And I'm not sure if it was money, sex, power, or fear of being found out about something. It doesn't point out anything. It does point out, and the current people that are working in our government, it points out that there is no honor amongst thieves, if I can steal that from somebody who said that wisely. The thieves are running rampant at the in Washington, D.C., and I'm sure it's on both sides, so be careful. Listen, as I've told you 1,000 times, listen critically. Don't just assume that it's my side or and so therefore it's right. I keep kicking myself. I try to listen to both sides. And have you noticed lately Fox has, and I'm assuming that they're doing this for financial reasons, but Fox has recently loosening their stance. They have become slightly more moderate. They have changed their stand on several things, little but several things, and it seems that Fox is struggling as far as ratings go. When I was young, I worked at a radio station, and my boss at that radio station, by the way, it was a radio station, one of the three firings that I got. I got fired from this radio station for asking to be paid my salary that I was owed. But my boss was one of those people that he owned the station and he used it for the benefit of his friends. And I really had a hard time with that. And so did our news director. There was a situation where one of his business buddies didn't like that we were talking about such and such. I don't even remember what it was. But he came in to the news director and told him he couldn't talk about it, even though it was news in Crown Point, Indiana, which is just outside of Chicago. And Rob, our news director, refused to not talk about it. And it was a rather tense 2 or 3 weeks. And finally, the news got out enough that this person was proven to be corrupt. And so my buddy, the news director, kept his job because the station owner couldn't fire him after what he had said was proven to be correct. But there, even going back that far, which was, 30 years, maybe 40, yeah, maybe 40, 40 years ago, there was corruption, but it was covered up a lot better. Well, not better. I don't think anybody in this particular government even tries to cover a lot of the stuff. But back then, at least there was some honor amongst the thieves. I was listening also this morning to, I can't remember Muhammad Ali's daughter's name, but she was talking about Muhammad Ali. And I remember how many of my friends hated him when he decided, well, they probably hated him before he decided to change his name and change his religion. But it didn't seem logical to me that you would hate a person because they changed their religion. That just seems a minimal reason to hate a person. Well, I think the reason why they hated him is because he was a pretty confident black man. And anyway, she was talking about, and she's written a book. One of the things she said her father always told her as a little girl was to be charitable, kind, and giving. Now, I hope that some of those old buddies of mine who hated Muhammad Ali heard her and understand that he was part of his ego was he was the best, but also It was part of his show. It was part of the way that he earned his money. People watched him because they wanted to see him lose. They wanted somebody to step up and punch him in the nose. But anyway, the fact that his daughter said he was always charitable, kind, and giving kind of grabbed my heart and made me really like, I always have liked Muhammad Ali, even back when he was Cassius Clay. And back in those days, if you were anti-going to war, amongst several of us who were kind of liberal back then, it was not a bad thing. It was a good thing. Well, we already talked about that thing. I put down in my phone all the thoughts that I have while I'm trying to get ready for the show. And sometimes they're not in very good order. So I'm going over some of the things I've already talked about. And I started to talk about running for office. I have decided that if I do run for office again, I'm going to go my own way. And if people don't like it, I'm going to tell them tough. Buttigieg said he was interviewed on Fox, and they asked him what he could do about all the Twitters that he would face, and he said, "Who cares?" I love that answer. I really don't care what people say, like on Twitter, about when I ran for office, and I didn't really have anybody say bad stuff about me. Most of the people that liked me let me know they liked me, and apparently a lot of people didn't like me. They just didn't vote for me. I'm not sure they knew me. I think if they knew me, they would have voted for me, but that's just my own ego. But I was very, very, very disappointed with both our local and our statewide Democratic Party. And I'm not much happier now with our statewide Democratic Party. I listen every week to the talking points, and that the Democratic talking points. There's a apparently I was put on a list because I had run for office, and I get to listen to these talking points, and it sounds to me just like all the politics I've heard before. That doesn't sound to me like it doesn't sound caring. It just sounds like they tell you how to say things, because if you say it the wrong way, people will take it the wrong way. Well, people are going to take you the wrong way. If you say it this way, that's good. And if you say it that way, they'll vote against you. And I suppose there is some of that. But it doesn't sound very... it doesn't sound very thoughtful. It doesn't sound very caring when that's the way you put it, just talking points. And that's one of the things I absolutely have gotten disgusted with all of our political candidates, except for there are a few of the Democratic nominees right now, or hopeful nominees, that have tell it the way they believe. I used to hate it when... Howard Cosell would say, "I tell it like it is." Well, he told it the way he thought it was, or the way he felt it was. Nobody tells it like it is because nobody knows exactly how it is. They tell it the way they see it. And anyway, that's one of the things that really has grabbed me by the throat. Is that I'm supposed to use talking points. And if I have to use the Democratic Party's talking points, I don't want to run for office. And fortunately, they don't make it mandatory, because anybody, if you pay your $85 or whatever it is, and you get the signatures 50 signatures or 100 signatures, whatever it is for your office. If you get those and file it with the state, you can run for whatever office you want to run for. There are very few restrictions on candidates. Now, there are several restrictions, like if you're I believe there are age restrictions for Congress. Definitely there is an age restriction and a birth requirement on running for president. So I think at the state level and down, there are very few. There might be hometown requirements, so you can't run outside of your district or something like that, but not very many restrictions on that. Anyway, I am thinking, and if you want to chime in and tell me what you think about whether I should run against Mr. Jordan, I'd be glad to hear from you. Like I said, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to. I'm getting a little, that's another problem I have. I was not supported by the Democratic Party, though I contacted them several times and asked them for lists of donors that I could contact. I asked them for walking lists where I could go and walk around neighborhoods. And I was very disappointed with their response. I virtually got no response. Three times I contacted them, and each time they said they would get back with me on people that I could get money from. I think I told you a couple weeks ago, I found out that my opponent raised over $100,000. I think it was like $120,000 for her run to beat me. She could probably have done it with far less than that because I just had a few thousand dollars that I raised from family and friends. I was not good at being a money raiser. I think I would be if somebody would have helped me, but I really didn't have a whole lot of help. Where am I on my little list here on my phone? It just shut off, so I'm going to have to open it back up here. I'm going to stick with it. My feelings that if I do run for office, it's going to have to be a moral run. And I'm not saying I'm more moral than anybody else, but I know what's right and wrong, and I know how to avoid doing things that are wrong. I have done things that are wrong. There is no doubt about that. Nothing that I think you'd have to worry about opposition research-wise. I have done very little that any opposition research would turn up as a terrible sin. I did cheat once on a religious test. I went to a college. My college, Valparaiso University, was a Lutheran school, and you were required to take one course at that time in religion. And I was a Methodist, and I was pretty smart about religion just because I had grown up as a minister's kid. But for some reason or other, the stuff that they were testing us on, and I knew it was going to be on stuff, was not stuff that I knew much about and I didn't care about. So I basically knew roughly what the answers were going to be, or the questions were going to be, and I wrote down some stuff on my hands and in a book and stuff so that I could answer it. It was kind of an open book test for me, and that's the way, but that's the only test I ever cheated on, I passed. I don't remember if I passed very well, but I got to tell you about this too. That school required that I, because I moved from Butler University to Valparaiso University, and I was an athlete, and they required that athletes take a course called Grammar Zero, which probably would have been discriminatory now, because they required that I take it because I had been a former athlete. Grammar Zero. So I took Grammar Zero. Grammar Zero, you got no credit for, but you had to pass it. And my professor had a rule that you had to be at all but, I guess, the school's rules were two classes. So I was not a good student, I didn't go by the rules. Anyway, I only went when there was a test. I got an A on every one of the tests, and he flunked me because I had, had not been there for all the sessions. So I got support from the English department and went back, and they let me take the course again. Well, I did the same thing. I wasn't very smart. I didn't go to the class. I went to all the tests, got A's on all the tests, and he flunked me again. Happened to be the father of one of my high school friends, a female, that who also had told me that I was going to hell because I was a Republican, or not a Republican, because I was a Methodist. I was a Republican, by the way, at that time. I didn't think I was going to go to hell just because I was a Methodist. But anyway, her father didn't know it, but I weaseled away. I figured out how I could get through and get my degree without going and taking his course a third time. I had passed it with flying colors with the knowledge, but he was one of those hard noses that, boy, if you didn't attend every single one of his classes, he was going to fail you. So anyway, after I graduated, I did, and this was terrible. This might be one of the worst things I did in college. Well, no, but I went back to him. I looked him up and told him, nah, 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 nah. Well, I didn't do that. But neener, neener, I passed, even though I didn't take your stupid course or didn't get credit for your stupid course. Thank you very much, Valparaiso University, for having some good sense. They did allow me to get through that. Anyway, I hope you get a chance to read or listen to the report. It is very eye-opening. It will wrench your gut. It'll make you sick to your stomach of how much corruption is going on. I don't care what the president says. It does find an awful lot of fault in a lot of his decisions. It doesn't say it's convictable or even they don't say that he was guilty of all sorts of crimes and stuff like that. But if you listen or read the report, you will know what I'm talking about. There is no way in the world that we need a government that is run as corruptly as our government is right now. Okay, I'm not going to go back and have another Monday where I talk about all this. I just had to get it off my chest after getting... I am going to finish up the report, but probably won't be... Well, I'll probably have it finished by the time I'm going to California to see my son out there. He just, by the way, he just added a new vineyard to his vineyards. He now has another 10 acres of vineyard, and his wine, it's called Majestic Oak of Ojai, I believe, Majestic Oak wine, and it is fantastic. And I'm not a wine drinker, but there are some of his wines that I really enjoy. Even my wife, who hates wine, has found one or two that she likes okay. All right, well, it's about that time for our next show. So I'm going to get out of here. I hope you will tune in next Monday and join me on A Progressive Life.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For legendary First Lady of Broadcasting in Marion, Madge Cooper.
If you have a new announcer and he's not from this area, you make sure that before he went on the air the first time, you said, it is not Bucky Russ.
And got back into radio, and now I'm doing some syndicated shows for Ducks Unlimited and for the Toyota Motor Company.
You got a commercial in there, and you weren't authorized.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And Madge, we got the first little portable recorders. Remember those? And I still got mine.
Nancy used to put hers in front of the microphone to play it.
Yes, yes.
You brought it back from New York, didn't you?
I need a mic.
There you go.
Sometimes